This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Oh,
Please join us for a word of prayer.
God of love, God of mercy, God of grace. God, we enter into an attitude of prayer, thanking you for all you've done, all that you're doing, and those things yet to be done. God, we just thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we wouldn't be able to thank you enough. Lord, we're in a time of war for some places, Lord God, and today we pray for peace, an abundant peace. Scripture tells us, do not be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known. And so, God, we're requesting peace, that ultimate peace, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding, that it'll guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for provision. Those things that we call out to you and those things that maybe are still on our hearts, we haven't said yet, but that you know, thank you. Thank you for your abundant grace, not because we're so good, but because you are so good. Thank you. Father God, we ask blessings over all those that are grieving this day. There are many, Lord God. There are so many things that have happened just in the course of just a few days. And so, God, we pray that you'll wrap your loving arms around each and every one, Lord God, letting them know that everything will be all right. Lord God, we pray for those that are in need, the homeless, the widows, the orphans, the immigrants. Lord God, those that are homeless, looking for a job, needing food on the table. Lord, rain down those blessings from heaven. We pray for anyone that needs a healing in their mind, body, or their spirit, Lord God, that you will make all well. Be with us in this congregation, God, and in every church that stands in your name, Lord God. We just pray the faith, knowing and trusting and believing that the God of more than enough is going to provide for us, Lord God. We lift you up this day. It's not about us. It's all about you. And for that, Lord God, we humbly come in adoration, Lord God, in affirmation of who you are. You are Lord of all. You are King of Kings, Lord God. You're the head of our lives. We abundantly thank you, Lord God. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray, and all of us in agreement said, amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Against me, yeah. The Bible says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're reading this morning from Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Listen to the devil's lies. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Awesome God, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the light, oh God. We thank you that there is nothing false in you, oh God. We thank you that the devil is a liar, but he's already defeated, oh God. For this we give you thanks and praise. God, we pray that you use this word to help us be victorious, to help us rebuke the enemy, to help us know when the devil is lying to us. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart gathered is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, our subject for today is an opportune time. And on this fifth day of Lent, you might already be feeling tempted. It took Jesus 40 days before the enemy really started coming for him hard. But on this day 5, you might already be tempted. Tempted, as our prayer of confession says, to do those things that we ought not to do. And you might not be tempted to do bad, but maybe you're tempted not to do the good that God commands us to do. Perhaps you've made a commitment for the season and you've already found yourself in a drive-thru. You've already found yourself popping the top on a soda. You've already found yourself in that long line at Crumble Cookies by the H-E-B on Wilmer. Y'all seen those people? They've been out there all weekend, wrapped around the building. So maybe that's the temptation to see what those cookies are all about. Maybe you're doing okay with the things you said you sacrificed, the things you said you give up. But the added practices, the meditation, the quiet time with God, the scripture study, maybe you haven't found space to add things yet. Let's think about it like this. Friends, if you've ever resolved to lose weight, then you know you have to take some things away and you have to add some things. Yes, you give up some calories. Yes, some chips, some carbs. But you also have to add a walk. Or get to the gym, find you a Zumba class. You have to take, help us, Lord. You have to take some things away and you have to add some things. And in this season of Lent, we're trying to lose the weight of sin, church. We're trying to lose the weight of sin. And so that means we've got to take some things away and we've got to add some things. And what if one of those things we added was real scripture study? Not just I read the verse of the day on my app so I could say I did, but I really came back to that verse all day long. I really meditated on that thing, chewed on it so that I could digest and understand that word of God over my life. What if the thing we added was consistent worship just during the season of Lent? Pastor ain't gonna even try to stretch you for the whole year. But what would it look like to show up for 6 weeks in a row to journey with God, journey with Christ toward the cross? We gotta take some things away and we have to add some things. Because perhaps you're like the Apostle Paul who says, when I would do good, evil is everywhere. Evil is all around. The bad choices are everywhere. So when we come to the end of our 40 days of Lent, I pray that we have kept evil at bay. I pray that the old hymn will have helped us on our way. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. When we come to the end of our journey, I pray that that chorus of the song will be true for us. Ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. When we come to the end of our 40 days of testing, I pray that we're able to speak to the enemy with as much boldness and confidence as Christ did, basically saying, not today, Satan. I borrow those words, not today, Satan, from a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, a poet who wrote these words as a reflection on today's gospel. In the wilderness, Jesus was emptied of distraction and filled with Holy Spirit purpose. Meanwhile, evil does the devil's work, promising junk food faith, promising corrupt power, promising vain glorification. For 40 days, Jesus holds out through every test, a model for us who are trapped in a pandemic desert for 740 days, famished from isolation, distracted by false comfort. It is time to let go of the tempter's lies, to escape the wilderness, to affirm the powerful love of God and humanity, to affirm the glory of creation. Confident in who you are and whose you are, declare boldly today, not today, Satan. Friends, I believe those three words could sum up the Lenten journey. This is a whole season, an opportune time to tell the enemy, not today, Satan. I will not believe your lies. I will not follow your path over God's path. I will not be trapped by you when scripture tells us that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is an opportune time for those of us who are being tempted or tested, for those of us who find ourselves facing any kind of trial in a wilderness season. This is the time for us to say, not today, Satan. In the gospel we read today, Jesus stands right where most of us are in our lives, somewhere between baptism and boldly living out our baptismal vows. Christ is in the wilderness, which we know the Lenten season represents wilderness. But this is a season of testing, examination, preparation. Preparation is an important thing to name, because Christ hadn't done anything yet. He's not done anything to put the enemy on high alert. No demons have fled or trembled in his name. No people have been healed of incurable diseases. No multitudes have been fed yet. Ain't nobody been raised from the dead, little children, friends, or Christ himself. Nothing has happened yet for the enemy to be upset. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that we're leaving Christ's baptism, where the whole sky cracked open and those people heard the voice of God say, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The big deal is that the Spirit of God descended on him that day. Christ hadn't yet started ministry. This was testing for preparation. All my athletes in the room, this was basically his warm-up drills, what we do before the game. This was him stretching out before he got on the football field or the basketball court. The word Lent literally means lengthen, or to stretch. And I know that Jesus was stretching into his new ministry, and I believe God is stretching us into whatever is next. And I wonder if we will submit ourselves in these 40 days to be worked out, to be stretched out by the ultimate trainer in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know that most of us did not hear a voice from heaven at our baptism, or when you stood here with your children being baptized, you didn't hear that voice speaking, but still we can be sure that God was present in those moments and that God claimed us just as God claimed Jesus. That is the work of baptism, to initiate us into God's family. So God claimed us in that same way, and that in and of itself gives the enemy a reason to attack. That gives the enemy a reason to attack. And if the enemy stalked Jesus, and he did stalk him, because the end of the text says what? That he left him not for good, not forever, but he left until an opportune time. We can trust that if the enemy came for Christ time and time again, he's gonna come for you and me time and time again. And so this is the season for an opportune time to grow in God, as our board tells us, because we have work to do. It's the time to grow in God because the enemy will be back. You already have heard me speak on the purpose of the season of Lent. You know that in the time of the early church, this is the season where they got people ready to be baptized. They only did baptisms one time a year on Easter Sunday. And so these 40 years got folks ready to be baptized. 40 days got folks ready. Some of us take our time, though. These 40 days got folks ready to be baptized. Amen. This was also the period of time for those who have sinned, those who had fallen away from the church, those who found themselves feeling separated from God. This was the time for them to get themselves ready to come back home, to come back to God. This was the time for the whole community, even the faithfully gathered, to examine themselves. Because don't you know that you can show up in worship from week to week and you can be first to log on to the Bible study, and still there might be room for self-examination. Still there might be something in our lives that God is trying to perfect. Friends, I believe that self-examination work was a little easier for them to do in those times, because the baptismal pool wasn't this little wooden thing that we have over here and sometimes forget, don't even notice that it's in the sanctuary. The baptismal pool wasn't even like the big trough that we bring out so that we can immerse people right here in our front yard. But their baptismal pool was in the shape of a cross. So when somebody was baptized, when you were laid down in those waters with your arms outstretched, I believe it was a little easier for them to understand what it means to be crucified with Christ and to be resurrected with Christ. I think they had a better understanding because of that stretching, what it looks like to stretch yourself in faith, because you have to know that some things must die in order for something else to be born. Our baptismal vows try to focus us on that. They focus us on what has to die so that rebirth might take place in us. What has to die so we can really live out those vows when we say, I will support the church with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness? If that's going to be true, something has to die in our lives. Some ideas, some excuses about why we do what we do or why we don't do what we don't do, some of that has to die. Our vows say that we accept the power that Christ gives us, so all those excuses die, so that we might reborn into the idea that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Friends, this is the opportune time to believe and to behave as if we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have work to do, church, because the reality is this: our religion can sometimes become ritualistic. Our religion can be full of motion, but absent of meaning. We might fast and fall right back into our old habits. We may pray and then get right up and assist God, help God with the burden we claim to be laying down. There is a chance, church, that we could journey toward the cross and crucify nothing in ourselves this Lenten season. There's a chance that our old habits will hinder God from resurrecting new things in and through us. But the good news is this: God is inviting us, God is calling us to observe a holy Lent. This is the opportune time to lengthen, to stretch. We even get to see the meaning and nature around us as the days stretch on and you have more sunlight. How will we allow God to stretch us so that more of the sun's light could come through us in this season? I wonder how God is trying to lengthen us, stretch us. I wonder how God is calling us to grow. Because like Christ's Lent or wilderness and testing experience, our 40 days may be full of trial. Like Christ, we're called to trust God as we journey toward the cross, considering only the gift and the promise of baptism behind us and the glory and future of the cross before us. And friends, as we journey, it's important to remember that God's promise is not that there won't be valleys, but that I will be by your side. The promise is not that there won't be any wilderness experiences, but lo, I will be with you always. The promise is not that we won't be tested, but that there will be no tests that overtake us. There will be no tests that happen without God providing a way of escape, the word says. And so the good news is we are tested and we can be encouraged because Hebrews 4 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our own weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as us, and yet he did not sin. Today's gospel shows us that we have a brother who was fully human and fully divine. We have a brother who understands our own struggles, one who had the power to turn stones to bread, one who had the power to come down from the cross to save himself. But instead, the text tells us he was hungry. Hungry for any kind of bread, y'all. Cornbread, a pita, some Hawaiian rolls. Hungry after 40 days. His hunger speaks of his humanity, that this was a real flesh and blood person going through it for all of us, real flesh and blood people. It speaks of his humanity and ours too, of our basic needs and God's ability, God's willingness, God's delight to provide those needs for us. The God of Psalm 91 speaks to our needs through these Christ temptations. Psalm 91 is largely what the enemy is quoting to Jesus as he tries to lie to him. And through that psalm, you can hear God saying, you can trust me. You can find rest in me. Because whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Through the psalm, we hear God saying, you can trust that I will protect you because my faithfulness will be your shield. My wings of mercy will cover you, God says. Friends, one way God covers us is through God's holy word, teaching us God's will and way, teaching us God's plan and purpose for our life, revealing God's hopes for us even. Romans 10 says it to us this way, the word is near you and on your lips and in your heart. And friends, it needs to be, because as I said, these temptations that the enemy is throwing at Jesus all came out of the Bible. If the devil is quoting strict scripture, we certainly need to quote scripture. We need to know the word for ourselves. The word has to be in our heart and on our lips, as the word tells us. And so I wonder, what's in your heart and on your lips morning and night? What do you catch yourself saying all the time? Oh, I'm so tired. I just been so busy. I don't feel like it. I'm struggling. The list goes on. Or are we saying, I'm growing. I'm kept by God. I know that I'm able because God is able. Friends, it's our daily practice that determines how we will be able to respond when we're tempted. Back to my athletes, if you don't show up for practice, if you don't put your time in during the week on the court, you can give it up once the game starts. And it's the same for us. It's our daily practices that prepare us for the time of testing. And so I wonder, what daily habits are preparing you? What daily habits do you have that will serve you in your time of trial? This is an opportune time to work on our holy habits that will keep the enemy at bay, our holy habits that will help us to pass Satan's pop quizzes. Because you can trust that as the children of God, we will be tested. There will be times of trial. So let's walk quickly through Christ's temptations as a way of examining our own. First up, the bread. You do know that we hunger for things sometimes that won't fill us. You do know that some hungers can only be satisfied by God. And Lord knows we try to fill up on other things. We shop. And we still empty. We drink, we use drugs, or we use food or sex like a drug, and we're still spiritually starved. What if we allowed the God who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies? What if we allowed that God to satisfy our hunger? What if? Friends, the next attack is on our worship. I know you know that sometimes we're tempted to worship things other than God. We preached on that last year, or while we were on Zoom still, all the little altars that we have set up, other things that might get our time and our affection before God. The enemy tempts Jesus with glory, exaltation, power, prestige, whatever you want to name it. And he says, the only little thing you're going to have to do is bow down and worship me. Now, you know, if the devil is bold enough to come to God in the flesh and ask God in the flesh, bow down and worship me, then you know he will come for us. He will proposition you and me to ignore the God in us and worship the enemy. And I know none of us would outright worship the devil, amen. But sometimes we are guilty of listening more closely to the voice of the accuser than we do to the voice of the Almighty. And I pray this season that we learn to silence the voice of the enemy simply with a not today, Satan. Last but not least, church, studying Christ's temptation shows us that we too are sometimes tempted to test God with what I like to call our free will foolishness. God gave it to us, but we don't have to act crazy with it, right? Yes, God will dispatch angels to catch you, Psalm 91 tells us, but why test him when you could just trust him? Why test him when you could just trust him? And trust me, church, the attacks of the enemy, I don't think they're personal, but they are purposeful. Christ is not Christ. The enemy is coming for our purpose in Christ, our identity in Christ. You notice that he said to Jesus twice, if you are the Son of God. So he's challenging Christ's sonship, Christ's divinity, and therefore Christ's purpose. If you are the Son of God. Anytime the enemy comes for us, it's about our identity. It's not personal, but it is purposeful. It's an attack on our identity as the beloved, an attack on our purpose as the people of God. Church, I wonder what the accuser has been saying to you. What questions does Satan tempt us with to distract us from our purpose? What have you been talking about? It doesn't matter what he's saying. God has already said to Christ and to us through our baptismal waters, you are my beloved, and I am well pleased with you. And now, friends, it pleases God to make sure that we are prepared to live the life to which we are called. It's an opportune time to get ready for whatever your next is. On this first Sunday of Lent, I believe Satan tempts Christ and tempts us because his eyes were already on the cross. He could already see salvation coming. And I believe Christ endured the testing because his eyes were already on the cross and he could already see salvation coming for us. Likewise, friends, some of our testing is because, as the songwriter has said, the enemy has literally looked into your future and he sees what you're about to come into. Y'all, I think some folks are tested because the enemy has seen your future and sees that you're on the block of your breakthrough. Amen. The enemy has looked into your future, sees you loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and what change could come when that happens. The enemy sees you loving your neighbor as yourself and is afraid of that. Sometimes Satan's eyesight is much better than ours. Because we can't see what God is doing, we sometimes let our hungers, that longing for bread, whatever that is for us, we sometimes let our hunger hurry us. Church, this Lenten season, God invites us to balance our diet. You might need to give up some foods, but we definitely need to give up some fears. Amen. We might need to give up sweets, but we definitely need to give up separation from God. Return to God even now, the prophet Joel says. I don't know how you'll spend the 40 days of Lent, but I do know there will be wilderness moments and there will be angels attending to you every single day. I don't know what trials and tests will come for you in these next 6 weeks. I don't know what you will be starving, hungering for, but I do know God will be there providing, and God will be the very provision that you need. So return to God even now, Joel says. Return with fasting and prayer. Don't get distracted, though. The reason for the season is God. We return with fasting and prayer and worship, not because that's the end game. Those are not just things to do, but those are the avenues. Those are the avenues that lead us back to God. And that's the main thing, coming home in this season. We already know that the early church used the time for self-examination. Friends, it's hard to imagine that these people were giving up meats or sweets or anything like that because they already lived so simply, right? Just think about Elijah asking the widow for some bread and a little bit of water. That's all that there was. So they weren't focused on their diets. When the season of self-examination came, it went far beyond food. They examined their attitudes as much as they did their appetites. They examined their decisions as much as they did their diets. For 40 days, they considered the condition of their heart, not because of meat and cheese and fatty things. They considered the condition of their heart because of their beliefs and their behaviors. What would you say is the condition of your heart today? Is it joyful? Is it obedient? Is it peaceful? Is it distressed? Is it helpful, kind? Is it wounded? What about the condition of our discipleship? What does our day-to-day walk look like? Are we taking up our cross and following, or are we the type of people who make Jesus bear the cross alone? What are the behaviors that back up our beliefs? These 40 days may be about diets, and they must be about decisions. These 40 days may be about our appetites, and they must be about our attitudes. It's a season of reflection, and it's the opportune time to check your commitment to Christ. It's the opportune time to grow in faith. It's the opportune time to grow in God for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Choir can come back.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.